Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Thank you for joining us for the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. The Bible says Jesus destroyed the power of fear when he paid the price for sin at the cross. That means if you're a child of God, then fear no longer has the right to control you. When America was attacked on September 11th, 2001, God instructed Brother Copeland to remind the body of Christ that fear is part of the curse that we've been redeemed from. Because of the events we see around us today, this message on freedom from fear is timely for all believers to hear. God's love is the force that casts out all fear. Imitate your Heavenly Father by expressing His love to those around you and start enjoying a fearless life today.
No fear here. Now that's where we're headed. Praise the Lord. Now then, step one was to come to the absolute understanding that we are already delivered from fear. Hebrews 2:14-15, 2 Timothy 1:10, which says Jesus abolished death. Luke 1:74. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Perfected love casteth out or flushes out fear. And that verse goes ahead to say, fear hath torment. Because fear hath torment. God, who is love, absolutely wants you to be free from all torment and enter into His rest at all times and all situations and in all things. Praise the Lord. And walk in faith and walk in love and walk in a constant state in this old fear-filled world, in a stable place, hidden in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Bible said our life is hidden in Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now then, the second one was to resist the spirit of fear. In 2 Timothy 1:5-7 said, stir up the gift that is in thee, the gift of God, the gift of love, the gift that love gave you. And then he goes ahead and said, we have not been given the spirit of fear. Now, we quote that verse a lot by itself. I don't intend to ever quote that verse by itself anymore. It said, stir up the gift that God gave you, that love gave you. And then, love has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Praise God. Now, the word says, you notice it didn't say, try to get God to stir you up. No, it said, stir yourself up. How do you stir yourself up? Well, you put yourself in the Word of God. You get yourself by your spiritual ear and you say, now, come on here. Now, you've been messing around, fooling around here, and you ain't got any business thinking like that. You ain't got any business talking like that, and you hadn't got any business acting like that. Now, you stir up the things of God on the inside of you. Stir up the things that love put in there. Praise God. The anointing is in there now. Amen. Stir that anointing up. Stir up the love and the compassion that God has invested in you and baptized you in His Spirit. Now, we're going to get into that in just a few moments. Now then, resist the spirit of fear, knowing that fear is not okay. Fear is sin. To tolerate it is sin. Jesus bore all our fear, and we resist whatever He bore for us on the cross. Revelation 21:8, Joshua 1:7. Over 110 times in different forms and ways, God commanded, fear not. Now, which commandment of His is sin to break and which commandment is not sin to break? Huh? It's a sin to break His commandments, period. Amen. Now, why? Because the wages of sin or death. That's the reason God is against sin, is because it'll kill you. He's not against sin because he don't want you having any fun. He's against it because it'll kill you. So any commandment and every commandment that he has ever given was a commandment of love, a commandment of protection, a commandment of well-being, a commandment of welfare, a commandment of wealth and riches and goodness and all good and wonderful and perfect things come down from the Father, which is in heaven. All of that he wants for you, and he has made commandments say, don't do that. Don't get off into that. That'll steal from you. That'll destroy you. That'll kill you. I don't want you over into that. His protection and his love has come forth in a form of covenant. Amen. Now, did you never notice that Jesus preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to preach recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which was supernatural debt cancellation. He preached that everywhere he went. But, well, you need to realize he preached that first every place. Peter said so in Acts 10, preaching at Cornelius's house. Jesus preached that everywhere he went. Well, now notice when he said, when he began to teach, and he said things like, judge not that you be not judged. Amen. You hear that now? What was he saying? He had already preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In a lot of cases, people had already received healing and deliverance before he began to teach what I'm sharing with you now, that what we've called the Beatitudes and all these different things, the Sermon on the Mount and so forth. He had already preached in a lot of cases. He had already preached and ministered, and now he's telling them how to maintain that anointing. Don't leave this hillside out here today when you got healed, you got your eyesight back, and then go home and start, you know, beating up on people and judging them and all that kind of stuff, because it'll break you away from the anointing, because the anointing is the love of God. There's no judgment in the anointing of God. Can you see that now? Can you see it? Let's talk about those commandments a little bit further. Along in the 7th and 8th chapters of Deuteronomy through the 10th chapter right in there, Moses is instructing the children of Israel, because they're about to go into the promised land. He knows he can't go, and he's going to instruct them on how to conduct themselves when they get over in a land flowing with milk and honey. Huh? They're going into a place of wealth and riches. They're going into a place like they've never seen before. Somebody said, wasn't it wonderful? 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out. Who wants to wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years, man? I mean, it's wonderful that they didn't wear out, but I'd rather have the money to buy a new pair of shoes. Amen. Glory to God. Same pair of shoes and the same shirt and breeches for 40 years? Dear Lord. Whoa. Well, somebody said it didn't make much difference. They wasn't going anywhere anyway, so... Amen. In that teaching, Moses used the word covenant and commandments interchangeably. And I said, Lord, how could 10 commandments, thou shalt not, or thou shalt, or shalt not, I said, how could that constitute a covenant? And he reminded me that he had already made covenant with those people through Abraham several hundred years before. Amen. And the commandments were in relation to the covenant of prospering in God. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Jesus said, fear not. And we say, yes, sir. Whatever you say, it's his command. how could thou shalt not covet be part of the covenant? Very simple. Why did God say, thou shalt not covet? He has already said, I am your God. I will meet your needs according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus, in the anointing of the Lord Jesus. I am your provider. Give and it shall be given unto you again. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now, why would you want to take over as God and provider and begin to covet what somebody else has? When all the time, all you need to do is realize that He is Lord. He is God. He is the provider. Amen. Why don't covet that fellow's wife? He'll get you one prettier than she is. You ain't got any business doing that. You certainly don't have any business doing murder. Don't do that. God said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. You bring the situation to Him. Now, I know what you're thinking. I bring it to Him and He won't hurt them. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And until you get rid of that, the only person here being hurt is you. Now, I want to talk to you here for a moment about something before we go on into this. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Let's read this from Galatians 5. Galatians 5, let's read down into that from the first verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All right. There you are, right there. You remember what we read in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15? That through death He might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We've been delivered from the fear of death, and the fear of death is the source of all bondage. It is the connector to all bondage. If there's no fear, Satan has no way he can connect with you and bring bondage on you. Hey, listen now. Then Romans 8:15, we read that, you remember? They said, we have not received the Spirit again to bondage, to fear, but we received the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, I have a Father. I have a daddy. Hallelujah. Said we cry that. You don't hear many Christians crying that. They'll agree with it when you read it. But he's talking about crying that, shouting it from the housetop and right in the middle of the night when all that worry is trying to get on you. Jump right straight up and shout, I have a Father. I got a daddy and he's rich, 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 rich. And he loves me just as much as he does Jesus, bless God. Amen. And I'm not going to have to suffer through this thing, praise Amen. The Lord. I resist you, fear, and I get.
Amen.
I'm not going to lay here and worry about it and turmoil about it and dig around in it That's like right. that. No, sir, I won't do it.
Right.
No, 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 no. He's more than a conqueror, so I'm more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Glory to Glory. God, because He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. You better say amen to that.
Amen.
Now then, I got excited and flipped this. There it is. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get back over into that fear. Stand your ground. Stand against it. And get involved in the practice of love, because perfected love, loving, perfects love, which flushes out all fear. And there is no fear in love. If there's no fear, there's no subject to bondage. Amen. Now, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ, the anointed one, has become of no effect unto you, or the anointing is no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen out of grace or that divine favor. If you're trying to get favor with God by keeping something legally, you've stepped out of His divine gift of favor and started trying to earn it. Now, what do you do when you do that? You stepped away from love. You got away from His love. You got away from that and started trying to earn it. And in its very nature, you destroy the very functioning of it. The same thing is true in your family. If you just stop and think about it, particularly those of you that have raised children, and every one of you was a child once yourself. Even if you don't have any children, you can look back on your own childhood. And if your child comes in and says, "I don't believe you love me." Well, why don't you believe I love you? Because you don't ever buy me a car. You don't ever buy me any clothes. You don't ever buy me this. You don't ever do this for me. You don't ever do that for me. I don't believe you love me. Blah, 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 blah. And then he goes out and he just gets him two or three jobs and he works and works and works and works and works and comes in and says, "I don't believe you love me. You never brag on me." It is extremely difficult to make any kind of connection with somebody like that. Why? They're not willing and obedient. They're just being obedient, trying to buy some kind of favor. You could have two kids standing together and one of them saying, "I tell you, my folks don't care nothing about me. They just smother me. They keep me from finding out who I really am. They keep me from getting my real identity. They're always wanting to do things with me. They just want to run with me. They just want to stay with me. Don't let me off by myself and on my own." And the other one said, "My folks don't care nothing about me. They ain't never got no time for me. They don't never do anything with me. They always got their own thing going." Now, which one of you little turkeys is right? You can seek and find problems in anybody's life. Amen. Hallelujah. But when you begin to seek the love of God and you begin to love, you begin to exercise the love of God. I mean, even if your parents were absolutely the most terrible people in the world, there's something good about them somewhere. If you just hunt that and find it, if you say, "Lord, show me my dad the way you see him. I'm tired of looking at him the way I see him. I want to see him the way you see him." And get over into the love of God. Now, I want you to notice here what takes place when you do that. And I did it again. "For in Jesus, the anointed one," verse 6, "neither circumcision anything, but faith which worketh by love." Faith worketh by love. You notice it said faith worketh? It didn't say now faith works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. No, by love it always works. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith worketh by love. Faith doesn't come through trials and torments and situations and problems. Now, you can hear that preached, but there's no scriptural basis for it. There is scripture that says the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, patience supports faith. Divine patience, which is consistent, constantly, consistently the same way in the good times and in the bad. On the word, whether it's good, whether it's bad or endeavor, whatever it is, you're on the word. You react and respond the same way. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what anybody else does. You are solidly on the word. If you're on the word, faith is the result. So the trying of your faith, if you continue to walk by faith, releases and puts patience into operation. It didn't say the trying of your faith worketh faith. No, it wasn't even talking about that. It was talking about staying the same way in faith. Faith never changes. The word never changes. God never changes. And I'll tell you something else. The devil don't ever change. Fear never changes. Hate never changes. It's always the same. It'll always flee. It'll always leave. And it'll always go. Faith always cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith always worketh by love. And I'll tell you something else. Love worketh by faith. They come from and are released and acted upon with the same biblical principles. Now, faith worketh by love. Faith is, quote, filtered, end quote, by love. Now, let's go back to what we originally said. Jesus said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. You shall receive the results. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, you shall receive them. Then what's the very next thing? And when you stand, pray. I mean, that's right now. You can do that in a moment's time. It don't take no 3 or 4 weeks to forgive somebody. It may take 3 or 4 weeks for you to feel like they're forgiven. But that didn't have anything to do with it. This is an act of obedience. It is an act of faith. It is an act of your will. And you can love by will. You don't wait till you feel like loving, until you feel like it. And they did something nice for you. And now you can love. Yeah, that's hogwash, and you know it. Amen. So what we're talking about here, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. It's an act of your will. It's an act of obedience. I love you by covenant. Not by feeling. Feelings will have to get in line. And when you walk in this, they will come in line. Praise the Lord. The compassion of God will be the result. But in the first stage is an act of obedience. Jesus said, forgive even as God has for Christ's sake forgiven us. Even as, praise the Lord, amen. And every ugly thing you ever did, he still loves you. Amen. He never changes, not day in and day out, he never changes. He is always love, and he's always in love. Now, you forgive by faith. Now, when you do, you release your faith, and that faith worketh by love. You may be exercising your faith over here in the area of your finances or in the area of your physical body or in a, you know, some other situation here. You've released your faith in that, and right now, it just looked like a totally impossible situation. I've had people say that, well, Brother Copeland, you know, I forgive, but I don't ever forget. No, you hadn't forgiven. Forgiveness is unconditional. It's not based on anything they do or any response that they have or don't have. Now let's make this statement. Write this down. Faith worketh by love. Love always brings things into proper order.
The laws of the Spirit govern the whole earth, but what are those laws? In Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Releasing God's Love in You, he explains what the laws of the Spirit are and how they affect your daily life. Understand the character of God as your Savior and Father. Learn how releasing the love of God that's in you activates His Word and power into your life so you can love and believe on purpose and see the blessing that God has for you. When you sow the love of God into what you're believing for, you'll see the harvest of His promises come back to you more than you could ask or think. Fill your spirit with the right words so you know what to do and say when challenges arise, and watch God's love turn your situation around. Stop strife and unforgiveness with the love of God and take back freedom and peace for you and those around you. Request your free copy of Releasing God's Love in You, available on MP3 disc by Kenneth Copeland. Choose to live in God's love and see how everything lines up with His promises for your life and those around you. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
When you were born again, God entered into a covenant with you to be your healer, your protector, and your provider for everything you need. It's not God's will that you lack in any area of life. He's giving you His covenant promises in His Word that prove abundance is a part of His plan for you. When you choose to follow those covenant promises, then you position yourself to receive His abundance in every area of your life. For over 5 decades, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have dedicated their lives to teaching believers how to receive the supernatural prosperity God wants them to enjoy. And your Heavenly Father wants you to prosper, not only in your finances, but in every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body. At KCM, we're committed to helping you discover the laws that govern supernatural prosperity, how to put those laws to work by faith and receive the covenant blessings that God has prepared for you. Partners, thank you for your faithful support of this ministry. Your financial gifts are helping to send the life-changing power of God's Word free of charge around the world. Together, we're teaching believers how to stand on the covenant promises of God's Word, to take their lives from sickness into divine health, from despair into joy, from poverty into prosperity. Thank you for your partnering with us. We hold you up in prayer every day at this ministry, and that's not all. Your partnership gives you access to the same anointing that is on Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to empower you to fulfill God's calling on your life. Before we go, I want to bless your offering today. Father, on behalf of every sower today, we thank you for ministering to us the seed that we sow so that you can multiply it in abundance according to the harvest, whereby we will not lack in any good thing. Thank you so much for increasing the fruit of our righteousness, for enriching us with all bountifulness, providing us all sufficiency in all things so that we can continually abound to every good work. You're so good, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609, go online to kcm.org/give, or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.